Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. We heard this song in Latin at this procession on this Gaudete Sunday. But we all know that the New Testament was written in Greek, not Latin. So it's even more helpful to know the Greek word that St. Paul used in his letter to the Philippians from where this verse comes. It's actually one of the most frequently used words in the New Testament, and possibly the most important. The word and all of its derivatives comes from the word chairo, which is a meaning of grace. In modern Greece, if you say charete to someone, it's a formal greeting, but it doesn't have any reading meaning like we heard in this gospel antiphon. Its meaning has somewhat been lost, just like how many people say goodbye without realizing it's Old English for God be with ye. In the New Testament, kaire and kairete is used specifically to reflect the grace of God working in the world. You see, after mankind was expelled from the Garden of Eden, we no longer lived in the grace and joy of God. So mankind longed for God's grace. The Old Testament is filled with prayers asking for God's grace and prophecies that point to God's sending his grace to us. And God's grace most perfectly entered the world at the incarnation, when the Father sent us his Son. Let's reflect on the joy of God's grace that entered the world at the incarnation and was revealed at the nativity of Jesus, that continued through the earthly ministry and teaching of Jesus, and that continued after his ascension with the apostles and has been handed down to us today. Now, the word kairete is the second person plural form of the word. All of you rejoice. The second person singular is kaire, and that is the first word that the angel Gabriel said to the Blessed Virgin Mary. We say in English, Hail Mary, but the angel said to her, Kaire ke karitomine, which in English is translated, Hail Favored One. I explained a little bit about this in my homily on Sunday on the Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception, but a more correct translation might be, Rejoice, you who have been most perfectly graced by God. The joy that the angel came to deliver is that the Savior of the world is going to be born from her immaculate womb. And the same angel used that same Greek word in speaking to Zechariah about his son, John the Baptist. Many will rejoice at his birth, the angel told him, as John will prepare the way of the Lord. Some others who also rejoiced at this time were the Magi, who rejoiced exceedingly when they saw the star over the house of Jesus with his mother in Bethlehem. And this reflects the grace and joy extending even away from the Jewish people, also to the Gentiles. Now, with all of this rejoicing, is it any wonder that so many of our Christmas songs contain that word joy? Think of them. Joy to the world. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. Even God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen speaks of glad tidings of comfort and joy. Hark the Herald Angels Sing tells us, Joyful all ye nations rise. And the three first joyful mysteries are about the incarnation and the birth of Jesus. And that joy is present also in the teachings and ministry of Jesus, but oftentimes in mysterious ways. In the most powerful way, joy is present because God is visiting his people in the flesh. But in speaking of himself, Jesus tells us that Abraham rejoiced to see his day. And the parables of Jesus use this word, kaire, joy. The father rejoiced when the prodigal son returned. The man who lost one sheep out of his 100 rejoiced when he found the lost one. And this joy of Jesus is received by the people. Zacchaeus rejoiced that Jesus called him down from the tree and said he would stay at his house. And as Jesus approached Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, the crowds rejoiced. The word kyrie is even used of Herod when Jesus was sent to him. But then things take a mysterious turn. After Jesus is scourged by the Roman soldiers, crowned with thorns and dressed in purple, the soldiers mock him by saying, "Kyrie, hail, King of the Jews." Think about it. The same word with which the angel Gabriel greeted the Blessed Virgin Mary is used to mock her suffering son. But that's the whole point. Jesus is the grace and joy of God, even in his suffering and death. And Jesus had even prepared his disciples for this. In his Sermon on the Mount, he had told them, "Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad," he says, "kyrete, for your reward will be great in heaven." And that brings us to the apostles after the ascension and us. That joy-filled grace came upon the apostles after Jesus ascended to the Father through Pentecost and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. When the apostles were arrested and beaten, they remembered the words of Jesus and rejoiced that they were found worthy to suffer for his name. And they carried that joy to others, including the Gentiles, who rejoiced at the message of Jesus Christ. But no one used that word kyrie more than St. Paul. Fully a third of the times that word kyrie, joy, is mentioned in the New Testament, it's done by St. Paul. And most of his use of joy is in his letters to the Ephesians, the Philippians, the Colossians, and Philemon. And he wrote all four of those letters while in a Roman prison awaiting his execution. He rejoiced in his suffering, and he encouraged others to do the same. The first reading today from Isaiah is a prophecy that a time will come when the eyes of the blind will be opened, the lame will see, the lame will walk, the deaf will hear, and the mute will sing. And in the Gospels, Jesus sends a message to John the Baptist that he is fulfilling the prophecy. And what will come with that fulfillment? Everlasting joy is what Isaiah says. The joy of this season isn't a nostalgic joy for an event that happened in Bethlehem 2,225 years ago. It's a joy that God is with us, Emmanuel. He's with us now, even amidst our sufferings and trials. He is with us when we gather, when we hear his word, when we minister to the least of our brothers. So today we rejoice to come together in holy communion with the sacrament of his body and blood. As the entrance antiphon says, "The Lord is near."